Today on Real Radio.
The Antichrist will declare himself to be God and the temple built in Israel. They're talking about building it right now. There'll be global judgments poured upon the earth. The second coming of Christ will take place. Jesus will reestablish and restore the nation Israel. The millennial reign of Christ will begin. This world after 1,000 years will be destroyed. And then the Bible tells us eternity, or what is called the day of God, will commence. Wow. Heaven is forever. That's good news.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John. We'll be taking a look at the first 6 verses of John chapter 14. Of course, the clock continues to wind down toward the execution of Jesus, and yet he takes the time out to give his disciples some words of hope. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Jesus is Coming Again.
The outward man's perishing. The Bible says the outward man's dying, but the inward man's being renewed day by day. That's a good thing. I've noticed this last couple weeks, my deodorant has worked fine for me for over 10 years. All of a sudden, I'm starting to smell like onions. So, what is this? And I'm honestly, this week, I'm going like this to people. What is that? It was me. So now, what am I doing? Caking it on. Just rolling that stuff on. And now I know you're going to give me all your herbal stuff. I'll put that on too, with everything else, and sprays. And then, to top it off, colognes. Pump it on. Why? The outward man is decaying, but the inward man's being renewed. Why? I'm closer to heaven. Hey, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Or if the rapture comes today, I'm going to heaven. Where will you be? If there's a trumpet blast right now, I'm going up. It's not because of what I've done or who I am. It's because I'm a rotten, stinking sinner that he loves and died on the cross for me. And I go, thank you, Lord. I receive your gift. I take it to my heart, and I'm waiting. And I thank you, Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, the Bible says, Paul again, we are confident. Are you? You should be. And well pleased, rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Man, someone shoot me. Think about it. Hey, if I kick the bucket, or if I hear the trumpet, I made that up last service. If I kick the bucket or hear the trumpet, I'm going to go to be with Jesus either way. Isn't that good news? Sometimes we'll get on an airplane, and my wife will say, pray, we're going to taxi now, pray. And I'll go, I'm not praying. What do we pray for? What do you want to pray? What? That the way we not crash? Well, yeah, but come on, don't joke around like that, pray. Think about it. First of all, there's like 350 people on that plane. The probability of someone on that plane having a date with eternity is 100%. It is, you know. Everybody dies. So you think about it. You're getting on an airplane. What's going to happen? Whatever God wants to have happen. So, well, I'm not going to fly with you. Oh, okay, watch what happens. So you get on your plane and you pray. And you get to your destination. Frankly, you get to your terminal. That sounds kind of scary to me. I, on the other hand, don't pray, get on the plane, and fall from like 35,000 feet. And remember, it's not the fall that kills you, it's just a sudden stop. I wake up in heaven. You've got to get your bags. I'm already in heaven. Remember, we're Christians. We're going to heaven. Have we forgotten? It's pathetic. I love that sticker. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Isn't that funny? The truth of the matter is we're going to heaven, and that's a great thing. Another consideration is this. We're going to glory, verse 2. We are going to glory. He says, in or that there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not going to beat this to death. I just want you to circle the word mansions in your Bible. Some of your more recent translations have got a different word like dwelling place or whatever. That's kind of sad, honestly, because in 1610, when the King James translators came to it, they said, you know what? We've got to find a word that is so awesome that matches what's implied here. And when they scanned the English language, they couldn't find one but mansion. It's the best they could do. So they put the word in there. What am I saying? One of two things, I believe both. A, we're going to get new bodies in heaven. That's a fact. B, are we going to have a place to live in heaven? Sounds like it. Well, you expect to have a, you know, a French Tudor home or a Mediterranean house? I don't know what he's prepared for us. The thing is, I just know that it's going to be a lot better than what this world could ever offer. Period. And I can't wait to get there. A glorious, wonderful place. That's what awaits us. Thirdly, under this point, it's guaranteed. I love it. We know where we belong because it's guaranteed. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I'm going to introduce something to you here that you may not have thought of before. In the traditional context, people will say what Jesus is saying is I'm going away to heaven to prepare a place for you. And that certainly is true. But listen, you can't, or he couldn't have gone to heaven without first, what? Going to the cross. So when he told the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, so to speak, the blueprints were drawn up in the Word of God, which said he's got to go to the cross. When did the preparation begin for us to go to that dwelling in heaven? Answer, on the cross. I am going to prepare a place for you. Number one, the cross. The result of it will be number two, heaven, your dwelling. Are you with me? That's good theology because it doesn't exclude either view. It includes them. Both views are true. The preparation takes place on the cross. When he says to the guys, I got to go and prepare a place, he's speaking about the cross. What did that work accomplish? A dwelling place for me with God in heaven forever. In God's glory. Guaranteed. How so? Jesus died on the cross. Isn't that great? You can argue about that all you want. You can fight about it. And you can be like Paul, or I should say Saul of Tarsus at that time, and kick against the truth. The fact is, you've got to deal with it as Saul did. And that is Jesus Christ died on the cross. And he rose again from the dead. And that's a fact. And the Roman Empire said, it's a fact. Caesar commenced an inquiry because of that fact, and the Roman procurator and region was brought under question and Roman investigation because Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. It is a fact of history, so much so that the skeptics have tried to argue that Jesus only passed out and came back to, or revived himself. He didn't really die. Well, you'll have to argue that stuff when you don't believe in him, but you have no peace and your heart is certainly troubled. Our third point this morning is this. The coming again of Jesus means we know that heaven is forever. He says in verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself that where I am, there you may be also. And this is the verse that introduces the rapture of the church. There's no getting around it. It's beautiful doctrinal teaching here. When he says, I go to prepare a place for you, of course it's heaven. The cross comes first. But watch this. I go to prepare a place for you. Go where? Heaven. I will come again and receive you to myself that where I am, where was he? Where's he going? Heaven. He's going to say, I'm going to come get you and take you back to where I was. That's heaven. What's it called? My Father's house. You got that? This is very cool because there are those who don't believe in the rapture. Well, then, friend, take your scissors and cut John chapter 14, 1, 2, and 3 right out of your Bible. Because Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to come back, get you, take you back where I've been. And by the way, it's in my Father's house. If you hold to a different view, you've got a doctrinal problem, because you've got Jesus leaving heaven, coming down to earth, and never going back to heaven. Read it carefully. Know what you think you believe. It's very important. We know from Scripture that heaven is forever. Very quickly, I'll run through these steps. This is like a little timeline. You might want to write it down or get the video or tape later. But note this. Jesus' first coming takes place. Remember that? He came to the temple. Jesus is risen from the dead. He ascends up into heaven. The church is born at Pentecost. Israel, by the way, 1948, was reestablished as a nation according to Bible prophecy. The rapture of the church can take place at any moment now. After that, the Antichrist comes forward and engineers a 7-year peace treaty with the nation Israel and its neighbors. Hello? Isn't that what Bush and those guys are talking about today doing? Didn't Bill Clinton sign a treaty with Israel and Arafat? By the way, it was 7 years long. That treaty was to last for 7 years. Did you know that? Get on the internet. Search it for yourself. That agreement on the White House lawn was for 7 years. Now, I'm not saying Clinton's the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be brilliant. He's going to be wise. But this is God warning us. Are you with me? It was a 7-year peace treaty between Israel and its neighbors. By the way, the Philistines. That's a wake-up call to our age. 7-year treaty, there's another one coming, between Israel, not Canada, and her neighbors, the Palestinians. It's like I'm reading a newspaper. The timeline goes on. The Antichrist will declare himself to be God in the temple built in Israel. They're talking about building it right now. There'll be global judgments poured upon the earth. The second coming of Christ will take place. Jesus will reestablish and restore the nation Israel. The millennial reign of Christ will begin. This world after 1,000 years will be destroyed. And then the Bible tells us eternity, or what is called the day of God, will commence. Wow. Heaven is forever. That's good news. I wish we had more time, but we don't. Verse 3 goes on to tell us that he's made us a promise. We know that heaven is forever because he's made us a promise. He says, if I go, and the word is actually since I'm leaving. Since I'm leaving, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and I will come again. If you've driven north on the 71 freeway, you can overlook the whole church site, the property. As soon as we know where the bulldozers are not going to move, we need to put a big sign up there that points toward the freeway. And that sign needs to say, Jesus said, I'm coming back, or I'm coming again. Signed Jesus, you know. Wouldn't that be great? People driving down the freeway, who knows what they're thinking about and what they're listening to. They look down, because you got to see the property from the freeway. They look down, Jesus is coming again. Wow. What's that going to do to people? Wouldn't it be great, man, you know, if we had like a little box there alongside the freeway, people pull over, they can get a track. People driving along, you know what? Oh, man, hand me another beer, Joe. Jesus is coming again. Put it back, put it back. Think of the conviction that he could come at any moment. He could come any moment. Can you imagine? And by the way, who are you trusting in? Who is your God? Always cracks me up. I feel sorry for people, but it cracks me up still. People are chugging along. Hey, man, Budweiser, Budweiser. Miller, Miller. And then something happens. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Who? Jesus who? Isn't it amazing that no matter what people live for and what they're trusting in, when the chips are really down, people call out to Jesus, don't they? I've never heard somebody say, oh, Miller Lite, help me. Never happened. Not going to happen either. Why? Because nothing that the world can give you a promise. Jesus has given the promise completely. Second consideration under this point. He's invited us in. Verse 3, and I will receive you to myself. Isn't that good news? The word receive, great word. It sounds Italian. Paralambano. Paralambano. Sounds like the flying Paralambano brothers. What does it mean? It means to put right to the hip. Like his big arm is going to reach out there and pull us right into his side. paralambano to you, Jack. Thank you, Lord. It means to pull in tight, to bring alongside. That's what he's going to do in the rapture. Note it, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Talk about an invitation. Here it comes. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them who sleep in Jesus, that is, their bodies dead in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means go up before those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, that is their physical bodies, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together, meeting them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, freak out and panic about his soon coming. That's not what it says. It says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. You see, if you're a Christian, you go, he could come any moment. And a Christian goes, yes. Right, thank you for reminding me of that. But somebody who's either not a Christian or somebody who's doing stuff they ought not to be doing, when they hear that, they go, oh, that's right, he could come. Hey, friends, if that's your thought this morning, fix it now. Because I've prayed hard today that the Lord would return during this service. And I'm praying he comes. And I thought of little tricks that we could do. Most of you look to the TV screens. I was thinking about having the media people do a big flash and then there's nothing on the screen. Well, that caught your attention. I was going to duck. Wouldn't that have been fun? Titus 2:13 says, let us be looking for the blessed hope. You see, the second coming is not a blessed hope. It's a wow, ouch, boom, crash day. But the rapture, Titus 2:13 says, let us be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's on the cross. And to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. You know, the great news about that is Jesus died for our sins, didn't he? And now what we're waiting for, we're trying to share Jesus with as many men and women and boys and girls as we possibly can. By the way, Peter says, by doing so, you're hastening his return. Did you know that? Say what? If we tell everybody, we are quickening his return. So men, let's get out there. You know? Wow. The only reason why you would want to evangelize is if you're not walking with them or you don't know them. But if you know them and walking with them, Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. And Jesus, in fact, said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world and then the end will come. I love the fact that Billy Graham preached to 3.4 billion, that's with a B, billion people in one time several years ago. The largest broadcast of information in human history. Aren't you glad it was the gospel? Isn't it great that the first book that came off of a mechanical press was a Bible? The first book ever created for a computer was the Bible. Isn't it great? I love it. We're going to heaven. He's invited us. It's going to be an exciting, wonderful event. Fourth and final point, verses 4 through 6. The coming again of Jesus means this. We know he's the only way. When Jesus comes, we can be confident because he's the only way. He says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, the famous verse 6 of John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Quickly, we'll be done. First consideration, he has shown us the way. He'd been showing them the way the whole time. They knew the way. But what's interesting to me is Peter asked this almost the same question, didn't he, in the last chapter? Where are you going? Remember, Peter said, Jesus, where are you going? Can I come? Now, Thomas says, hey, where are you going? And we don't even know the way. What's funny about that? You guys think about this. How could he say that? Hey, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. That's funny kind of logic. Because you can't ask the second question until you get the answer from the first one. Where are you going? Santa Barbara. Oh, I know the way there. So you don't ask the second question, right? Jesus, where are you going? He had been telling them for 3.5 years, I'm going to the cross, and then I'm going to go back to my Father. That's why the second question makes no sense. We don't know the way. Jesus, in his mercy, responds to them. He has shown them the way already. He has shown the way. Secondly, verse 6, he is exclusively God. Do you hear that? Jesus is exclusively God himself. When Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You guys, is that not narrow-minded? Oh, yeah. Is that not myopic? Oh, big time. Is that not exclusive? Sure is. Does this imply that people can be excluded? Sure can. You think God's just going around dying on crosses left and right? You think little babies born of virgins happens every day? You think this book written about Jesus coming to the earth in flesh and all the things that he did is a book that you pick up and there's going to be another one next week?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study that takes a look at a famous verse found in John 14:6. Actually, it's a look at the first 6 verses of this chapter. It's a message called Jesus is Coming Again. And if you'd like to hear the study once again, get in touch and request the study that aired on today's broadcast. Once again, it's called Jesus is Coming Again. Now, of course, we'll be continuing with more as we journey through the Gospel of John on our next broadcast of Real Radio. In just a moment, we'll be giving you our phone number, website, and mailing address. And speaking of which, we have a listener who recently wrote in. It says, I have listened to the radio for a little while now, to different men with different lessons. The man from your church has a take that is so nice, at times it makes me fight back tears. In his voice, I hear a good man. The point is, I haven't been to church in some time. I was baptized a Lutheran as a youth, and have just recently picked back up the copy of the Bible that's at my house. I am a ginormous sinner, and I would like to know if I may come to your church, and if so, I was also wondering if you have something like a church counselor that I may speak with. Sometimes I feel strong, and sometimes I feel that I could just get a little help. Please answer at your leisure. Well, of course, we will be getting in touch with you right away because that's what we're all about here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And thank you for your words of encouragement and encourage you to continue to listen to Real Radio. Now, here's our phone number, area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. And, of course, a good way to listen to this broadcast once again is to visit us at www.realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org is a great place to find MP3s of past broadcasts. Also, you can become a subscriber to our free podcasts of Real Radio. Again, that's realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.